listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Out of Vegas with the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ, live coast to coast, 6 o'clock Eastern, 3 o'clock here in Vegas. We have an action-packed hour for you. Coaching carousel keeps on a-turning. What does Vegas think about that? Also, hey guys, it's Thursday. The games are starting here in the NFL in a couple of days, and we're not going to be messing around. We're going to start diving deep, Vegas style, into the four NFL division round games, and we got the right guy for it. He's a pro who knows. Steve Fezzik, NFL expert. Brad Powers, all the college knowledge. Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to know more than their buddies. My personal promise, we will deliver the Vegas truth to you, but you can't have pros without Joes. He is Jonas Knox.
Always good to be here, RJ, as the divisional playoffs fast approach, but we start in the NFL with the coaching carousel that is. We took a deep dive yesterday into the offensive versus defensive coaches that have been hired. Another offensive coach has been hired in New York, this time Adam Gase to the Jets. So, RJ, what does Vegas make of the trend that continues to turn to the direction of offense over defense?
You know, we talked at length yesterday and got a really good response when it came to just how dominant offense is. And I think if you're even a casual NFL fan, you would have said in the last few years, man, it feels like offense is becoming more important. Defense is becoming less important in the NFL. But to the degree that's the case, when we got the numbers out there in front of us, was a real shocker, I think a real eye-opener for a lot of listeners. Let's recap that. The top five, and we're using DVOA, advanced metric, well-regarded. The top five offenses in the NFL are all still playing. They're all part of the division round, all part of the final eight teams. So if you're first, you're in. You're second, you're in. Third, fourth, fifth, you're in. It's pretty good. It's pretty much, if you want to be in, be a top offense. Because if you're in business, whatever goals you're setting, a core question is, what is the key result you need to achieve in order to reach your goal, to reach your objective, right? So if you want to run a 4-minute mile, that's the objective. Now the goal is, okay, I need to have a body fat percentage of less than 15%. I need to have a lung capacity of X. Those are the elements, the building blocks that lead to the objective. What's the objective in the NFL? It's to advance. It's to play deep into the playoffs, ultimately to win a Super Bowl. What are the elements? What are the key results you need? You might say, well, we want a good coach. Well, there's some pretty good coaches that aren't even playing right now. John Harbaugh, very good coach. So what's the correlation between good coach and winning? I think it's fairly high. You might say, okay, well, what's the correlation between defense and winning, advancing in the playoffs? Well, the number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 defense are all out. Boy, if 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 on offense are in, and 1 through 7 to a team, it's almost like there's an inverse correlation. If you have a good defense, you can't make it to the final eight. I'm not sure about that, but I'm pretty sure if the top five offenses are in, all five out of five, and 0 of 7 top defenses are in, the strongest correlation you can have is going to be offense equals winning. And that wasn't the case years ago. In fact, Fez, when it came to playoff time, it was actually the adage, the assumption was the opposite.
Yeah, defense wins championships. When the weather gets cold, you got to have that dominant defense to get to the Super Bowl. No longer true.
Well, it seems not. Now, I think what we saw yesterday, and it bears repeating, and as we went through the numbers yesterday, and we'll do this quickly, it's hard to have a horrible defense. So those defenses of the final eight are number 8, 9, 10, 11, 16, 19, and 26. So the recipe seems to be, and the 26 is Kansas City. Oh, by the way, they have the number one offense. So you got to have a super offense to overcome having a bad defense, it seems. But if you got a really, really good offense, you can have an average defense. RJ Bell straight out of Vegas. What matters in the NFL today? How do you win? That's what we're discussing. So we segue to coaching. It seems to be, do you want the second? Right now, if you're hiring, if you're making a decision today, this seems to be your decision. Do you want the second best defensive coach? Because there's only been one hire. So the theory is the one hired was the best. Maybe that's true, but let's assume it is. Do you want the second best defensive coach, or do you want the, what, sixth best offensive coach? So on one hand, you can sit there and say, well, you know, a guy like Kingsbury, and if he doesn't play Kansas or he plays a Division I team, blah, blah, blah. Okay, all that's true, right? But if defense hardly matters, and we can say, well, this year's an aberration, it's like, okay, well, let's see, right? But if defense hardly matters and offense is king, would you rather have the sixth best offensive coach or the second best defensive coach? There's some billionaires making decisions. Anyone deciding on an NFL coach, ultimately the decision maker is going to be a billionaire, right? Billionaires are saying, give me that guy that got fired from his college job because I'd rather him because there's a chance he knows offense compared to maybe a super elite defensive guy because it doesn't really matter anymore. It's almost like if you had a business back in the day that was both cars and buggies, horse-drawn buggies, and there was a time that half your business was horse-drawn buggies and half your business was cars, but each passing year, the cars become more important, and finally, you might want the 10th best car CEO rather than the best buggy CEO. Hopefully, defense doesn't go the way of the horse and buggy, but it seems like it might be.
Yeah, you don't want to be making the world's greatest buggy whip. You're still going out of business.
Guys, next we move to some injury news out of the NFL. Todd Gurley, who missed the final two games for the Rams with that knee injury, he is back at practice for LA as they host the Dallas Cowboys this Saturday night. Sean McVay, his head coach, spoke about Todd Gurley.
He looks like Todd. He looks like the explosive, great back that we're accustomed to seeing. He's feeling good. He's had a great week of preparation. You know, we're expecting him to be ready to go, and all things are looking in a very positive direction.
So, Fez, Gurley, we're saying offense matters, but passing matters the most, right? If you say, oh, I'd like to have, I mean, think about it. Zeke Elliott, maybe best running back, young running back right now. Him and Gurley, let's say. And then let's say Mahomes, best young quarterback. Boy, would you have to think for a second who you'd rather have, Mahomes or Gurley?
Yeah, give me the quarterback.
So we might say, why do we care? Well, I tell you this, with that Rams team, with Goff, who isn't an elite quarterback today. Now, will he become one? We'll see. But he was a bust in year one. Year two, McVay came in, coached him up, and it was a quantum leap, one that surprised me, to be honest. And then it looked like early this year, he made another leap, Goff. But boy, later in the year, I mean, let's say post that Kansas City game, that big Monday night historic legendary game, and it was, what a game. Goff has been what? I mean, where's Goff? From that game on, Fez, where's Goff 1-32?
He's been right around 20, a below average quarterback. That play action to Gurley was so important to his passing numbers, especially after Cooper Kupp went down one of his wide receivers.
And I think that's the key question. We're talking with Steve Fezzik, NFL expert straight out of Vegas. The key question to me is, how much was Gurley being hobbled and in some games absent the key to Goff's struggles, and how much of it is Goff? Now, obviously, we don't know exact numbers, but as a professional batter, what's your take?
I think that a big part of it was Gurley being hobbled. When you watched the game against Chicago at Chicago, Goff just could not perform when the Bears didn't have to worry about Gurley. And even the Eagles game, Gurley not 100%, and then Goff's performance just, it almost seemed mentally, he was like, oh, I don't have this running game that I can rely upon. It really seemed to have a negative aspect of Goff's game, knowing that he couldn't rely on the run game.
Yeah, I think there's some truth to that. Now, the question is, do we know how healthy Gurley is? What we know for sure is he didn't play in week 16 or 17, correct?
Correct.
And he had a bye week. But what motivation would McVay, if anything, if McVay is saying, and we have the sound that we just listened to, do you think McVay wants the opponent to know, the Cowboys to know, how good Gurley is? Wouldn't you think maybe if Gurley was still pretty much hobbled, that he would think, oh, I hope Dallas really thinks he's healthy so we can use him more as a decoy? And then vice versa, let's say Gurley were 100%, wouldn't you want the team to think, oh, don't worry about Gurley, he's hardly going to make it to the stadium on that leg, right? So in a weird way, metagame style, McVay's a brilliant coach by all accounts, a brilliant person. What's his motivation to tell the truth?
He has a negative motivation.
I think there's an inverse correlation to the truth. So maybe, now this is cynical, but Vegas is a cynical place. The fact that we heard McVay say that means we should be pessimistic about Gurley.
That is a very sage comment. And frankly, if he had said, you know, he's hobbled, but he's going to give it a go on game day,
I'd be thinking over the rush total.
Over 97 rush yards, yes.
That's the Gurley number?
I'm projecting that's what it would be.
Oh, Fez.
I haven't seen it yet.
Amateur odds maker. Do you book these numbers?
I don't have a gaming license, so I'm unable to book that.
Is that because of your history? When we come back, one of two things. Either Fezzik will confess his history, or more likely, we're going to continue to break down the NFL games.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox, and this is the pregame show you always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Outta Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, the voice of you, the fan. Coming up in just a couple of moments, we will take our second-to-last final look at the divisional playoffs in the NFL this weekend.
Some would say penultimate. We have the fun of bringing the fun of Vegas straight to you every weekday right now on the Strip. 63 degrees, and the neon is chugging. Fez, real quick. We looked at some numbers during the break. Fascinating. So we were playing a little cynic, saying, oh, the Rams coach is saying Gurley's ready. Maybe it's a deception, a swerve, trying to trick us. The numbers say we might be right.
Yeah, so we looked up. We can bet on this right now. Gurley rush yards. What is it this week? Surprising, RJ, a low number. 80.5. You can bet over or under for his rush yards.
All right, so 80.5. So 81, he's over. 80, he's under. Now, let's say Dallas has a really good rush defense, right? But I think the Saints probably have at least as good, if not a little better. So when the Saints played the Rams, what was Gurley's over-under?
The over-under was 96.5, much higher.
So 96.5 against a comparable defense for Gurley. Now he's down to 80. Man, and if anything, you would think Gurley was on the road in that Saints game, so they might be thrown from behind. Rams were underdogs in that game. Rams are a touchdown favorite in this game. You think they'd be running more. So, Jonas, the betting market is saying clearly skepticism about Gurley's health.
from Todd Gurley in L.A. to Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City, where the Chiefs right now on pregame.com, a five-point favorite hosting the Indianapolis Colts.
And really, let's start with, to me, the trend of the month, maybe. And here's the thing about trends. If you do backfitting, you do regression analysis, all kind of fancy words, you can find a lot of stuff. Left-handed quarterbacks with red hair and beards in games that start after 7 p.m. are 22-2. The question is, what's the correlation? Is there a logic to it? All right. Now, listen, if the number's big enough, it doesn't matter if there's any logic. There's a hedge fund. They don't love publicity, but they've been written about a good bit, called Renaissance, out of actually northern, above New York City, north of New York City. And they are by far the most advanced analytical people in the world at any field, I would make the case. I don't know if it's government related. Maybe there's some areas the government's better. But any financial market, which is what Vegas is, this Renaissance hedge fund is the best. And they said the trends that make us the most money are the trends that make zero sense. There's no logic to them. But there's such data behind them, we just keep making money. You know, it might be something like, literally, if it's between 70 and 80 degrees and or Easter fall, or I guess Easter is always on a Sunday, but, you know, a certain holiday falls on a certain day, the day before that, the market goes up. It's like, what? But think about it. Like, it could be, okay, everyone's got a day off tomorrow, the sun's out, so there's a general sense of optimism, so they're buying stocks instead of selling stocks.
The day after the Patriots lose a game, the stock market goes up because there's so many Patriot haters.
You know, and again, you could never have enough data in something like that where, and there's always the thing, oh, if the AFC wins or the NFC wins, the stock market's affected. All that's just quirky, you know, fluky stuff. But if you have thousands and tens of thousands of reps, you can get stuff that makes no sense. It really is legit. But in the NFL, you're never going to have that many reps. So what's so important with trends is there's logic behind them. And here's a trend. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas, talking about NFL trends, when they matter, when they don't, and the trend of the week in this Kansas City game. There's always been a sense that experience matters in the playoffs. Oh, look, it's Joe Montana. He sees John Candy before the last drive. He waves at him. Everyone's laughing. Touchdown. Okay, I don't know how much of that is chicken and the egg, right? How much of that is you tell the story after because they won? But I think it's common consensus, the belief that experience matters in the playoffs. Would you agree, Fez?
I agree strongly.
Brad?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right, so now we did the research. Pregame.com research. Mackie led the way with this one. He actually took the initiative on this one. He said, let's find every quarterback today that's the key quarterback for his team. So we got 32 of them. How did they do the first time they started a playoff game? Now, some of them didn't start a playoff game, right? So take those out, right? Josh Rosen hasn't started one, et cetera, et cetera. And then let's take out if the quarterback with zero starts, the virgin playoff starter, is playing another virgin. Virgin on virgin, you throw out. I think I saw that movie once, but it's a whole other thing. You throw it out. So now you have one quarterback that's a virgin versus another quarterback that's an old hand at it. How does it do against the spread? And this is where the spread is such an advantage, guys. Because you might say, well, wait a minute. It's going to be like Andy Dalton the first time against like a Tom Brady. Obviously, Andy Dalton's going to lose most of those games. Yeah, true. Except against the spread accounts for all that. It's like the whole world betting hundreds of millions of dollars on these big games in the Super Bowl, billions of dollars, saying this is the proper line. You either exceed the expectations against the spread or you don't. Now, this is amazing. First-time virgin quarterbacks against non-virgins in the playoffs amongst all the quarterbacks currently the number one quarterback for their team. Two wins, 17 losses, one push. Tom Brady was the push, by the way, in the Tuck game. So forget the push for a second. 19 times the team had a rookie virgin quarterback, not a rookie, a virgin quarterback against a non-virgin in the playoffs. Two times that quarterback won, and 17 times they lost against the spread. Oh, by the way, Patrick Mahomes is a virgin. Well, quarterback in the playoffs.
You know, I love this because this is a trend that makes sense. And I'm going to be honest, RJ, even if it didn't make sense, when I see 2-17.
It's starting to move towards statistical significance, but it's not quite there. But boy, the logic is there.
Sure. And just last week, you know, we see it. Watson,
Trubisky?
Well, yeah, Trubisky. And he played better than Jackson and Watson. How many worm burners do we see Watson throw? And you got to wonder, you know, it's that first playoff game, just your preparation. We're all creatures of habit. We like to do things the same each and every day of a normal week. But the playoff week is different. And I think first time you do it, you might approach it differently, might throw you off.
So, Jonas, as a fan, that's your first perspective. Does that number resonate with you?
Yeah, absolutely, because it plays to everything that we've heard, that experience does matter. It's one of those outside of offense versus defense in the playoffs that we've proven to be outdated at this point. That one seems to be holding steady, even though, you know, the philosophy around offense and defense has changed. So,
and now you got Mahomes laying the lumber, 5.5 against a Colts team that's won 10 of their last 11 games. I do think, though, with the Colts, Fez, you got to worry about the travel. Third straight road game. And remember, the Tennessee game on Sunday night, week 17, was a road game and a must win. Must win last week on the road, must win again. To me, the fatigue of that, the fatiguing consideration, is the only thing that makes me not love the Colts.
I agree, and I would have much preferred this game if they were playing Sunday instead of the first game on Saturday. Less time for the Colts.
It's an interesting point. By the way, though, on Tuesday, you gave your early best bet on the Colts right here on Straight Out of Vegas, and you expected the line to move. So if you do like the Colts, bet it sooner rather than later.
By the way, if you parlayed the terms virgin and worm burner in that segment, congratulations, you are a big winner. So
very unrelated.
Guys, we keep it in the AFC where the New England Patriots right now on pregame.com are a 4-point favorite hosting the LA Chargers.
We love Colin Cowherd here. I mean, Jonas doesn't, but we aren't allowed talking about that. That's part of the contract.
Right.
But you see, he doesn't deny it even, right? And Colin today was talking about that maybe the Chargers are the better team against the Pats, but even so, maybe the Pats are the right side. Now, he's going to do his Blazing 5 tomorrow. He and I record a podcast in which I grade the Blazing 5. You can get that on my Twitter, at RJ in Vegas, every Saturday morning. I put that baby out with Colin. Fez, I think he's right about this one. Meaning, let's not debate so much, are the Chargers better? Are they a little worse? Let's say they're comparable teams. You'd agree with that,
I
right?
I do agree.
Patriots, Chargers.
Yes.
Make the case why four, which the old adage here on Straight Out of Vegas, one of the 11 commandments, well, 11 because we lay 11 to 10, so 11 is our key number, right? Is that three for home field in football. So if the line's four, and the Chargers are no worse than the Pats, why in the heck might the Chargers be the right side?
Because there's three key factors that make the Patriots the right side. Number one, travel. 7,200 miles the Chargers have had to travel the last 3 weeks. They had to go to Denver, week 17. They go back home, right, to L.A. Then they got to go out to Baltimore, back across the coast. Then they win, they come home, and now they got to travel to Foxborough. During all that time—
So, by the way— if you count the Denver trip, it's over 10,000 miles. The 7,300 miles, Brad, you did that work yesterday, was if you just count from L.A. to Baltimore, back to L.A. to New England. You throw in the week before to Denver and back, over 10,000.
Yes, and New England's travel miles, zero. They've got to play at home week 16, at home week 17, and easy games, and then they had their bye week.
And remember, those were easy because they were double-digit favorites against the Jets, against Buffalo. So this is about as disparate of a rested team that's had time to prep versus a tired team in theory. Now, Chargers, best road team in the NFL this year, I think, unequivocally. But you add up the rest factor with, quite frankly, my belief that Lynn is a bottom quarter of the league coach. I think that's a Vegas consensus against the genius, against Belichick. And to me, if there's anyone that's going to exploit Lynn, it's going to be Belichick. And to me, I think that's very meaningful, the idea that, you know, if you have a Harbaugh, let's say, Belichick's going to have an edge. But if you have a coach who is bottom quarter of the league, well, now that edge gets really significant.
No talent. I'm not talking about talent. I said genius. Genius.
Belichick is a genius. I'm not sure if Greg Cosell's a genius, but he's probably close. In just 1 minute, we're going to ask him the key questions. 40 years, NFL Films of the Week in the NFL.
That's coming up next, but for all the latest from around the world of sports, it's Dan Beyer.
Rams running back Todd Gurley, not even on the injury report as he comes back from a knee injury. He'll go against the Cowboys on Saturday, but Cowboys wide receiver Cole Beasley is considered questionable after missing his third straight practice today. Elsewhere in the National Football League, the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette is quoting Steelers president Art Rooney II as saying that right now he doesn't envision wide receiver Antonio Brown being with the team when training camp starts in July. Rooney said that all options are on the table. Well, that is all options except releasing Brown. In college football, Ohio State quarterback Tate Martell has submitted his name into the NCAA transfer portal, which allows other schools to contact him. In the NBA, LeBron James is your leading vote getter for next month's NBA All-Star game. Final votes still not in yet, but LeBron is 2.7 million votes, but you won't see him on the court for the next three games. Lakers announced today that while he is ramping up his on-court activity, he still won't return from an injured groin and will be re-evaluated coming up on Wednesday. Finally, police in Las Vegas have a warrant out for DNA of soccer star Cristiano Ronaldo in connection with a rape investigation that dates back to 2009. Nationals signed infielder Brian Dozier to a one-year deal. Back to you guys.
Thanks, Dan. Straight out of Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up in 12 minutes from now here on FSR, we will have Best Bets, your chance to make a little bit of coin as we look ahead to a doubleheader in the NBA on Thursday night. I'm Jonas Knox, the voice of you, the fan. He is the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
Yeah, Lakers without LeBron, 8 games now played, 4-4 against the spread. So the market adjusts even for the most valuable player, at least against the spread, the adjustment for LeBron, bigger than anyone in the NBA, and the adjustment's been right. 4-4 for the Lakers so far. We got Greg Cosell with us. 40 years NFL Films. We spend all week trying to figure out the questions, and then we get the answer from Mr. Cosell. Greg, how are you? Good to have you on, Greg Cosell. Okay, I've been hearing for years now, running backs are borderline interchangeable. Oh, Le'Veon Bell's out? Okay, put this fellow in. I hadn't necessarily heard of him, but now he's really good. But with Gurley, with the Rams, it feels different. I know they've had some good rushing days without him, but it feels like Gurley is key to the Rams. Is that true? And if so, why?
Well, my guess is defensive coordinators would view Gurley different than C.J. Anderson. They're an offense that's really well schemed. Well, it's a well executed offense. So I think there are backs that can gain yards. But I think when it comes to the overall play of Todd Gurley, what he brings not only as a runner but certainly in the pass game, which is a critical element to what they do. My guess is that defensive coordinators would tell you that he's far more effective and far better than someone else that they would put out there. But, you know, that's an interesting question that people have been saying for years. And obviously when the Giants drafted Saquon Barkley, that question came up again. And there are people to this day who obviously believe that the Giants made a terrible mistake taking Saquon Barkley instead of a quarterback. And you can look in history, recent history, and see that there's examples of both. You know, when Marshawn Lynch was in Seattle, RJ, people, you know, and then he left, they couldn't run the ball for quite a few years after that. So there's examples on both sides.
True. Do you think, and again, as it's funny, right? I am a professional in a way with the NFL, but in another way, I am very accepting of the fact my X's and O's are limited relative to coaches or an expert like you. Do you feel like, this is my gut instinct, that finding just a runner these days is easy or easier, but finding a guy can run and catch passes is the real challenge?
Well, certainly there are guys who are runners who are not great pass catchers. And, you know, we'll see as we go forward with that. But I guess the question would be, and, you know, and I guess different people would answer this differently. Do you think anybody could do what Ezekiel Elliott does for the Cowboys?
Well, the question becomes, even if they can, how valuable is that differentiation? That's the debate.
Well, then it depends. It also then depends on how you choose to play. If you're going to build your offense, which most people nowadays believe maybe is not the right way to do it, although it's interesting as we get into the playoffs, we sort of get back into that a little bit. There's most people believe nowadays that building your offense starting with the run game is maybe not the best way to go. Although one could argue the Rams do that, and they're pretty good on offense. But the Cowboys clearly do that because they're a team that does not ask Dak Prescott to do very much. They play with their run game and their defense, and then they get into the fourth quarter, and that's where Prescott's ability to improvise and use his legs becomes a factor. But they're clearly an offense that's built on the running back as the true foundation.
That's Greg Cosell, executive producer and analyst, NFL matchup on ESPN. RJ Bell straight out of Vegas. We've got a stat, a trend, that says first-time starters in the playoff for quarterbacks, when they play against non-first-time starters, so inexperience against experience, that based on the Vegas perspective, the team with the virgin starter has only exceeded expectation 2 out of 20 times. So, like, shockingly, because we always hear experience matters with quarterbacks in the playoffs, but that 2 out of 20 number is such an eye popper. If I wouldn't have told you that number and I would have said how important is quarterback experience in the playoffs and why, what would you share with us?
Well, see, to me, and I know that number probably from your perspective seems like a high number or a low number, whatever your point of view is. But see, I would look at those things as case by case, and not only a function of the quarterback, but a function of many other variables. And everything can be reduced to a single variable if that's all you want to look at. I think, and because I'm more process-based than results-based, and you're probably more results-based, I'm far more process-based. So I don't just look at that as a stat like that and go, well, that proves it, you know, first-time starters can't win in the playoffs. I don't see it like that. My first question would be, well, what was the game? Who are you talking about? Let me know about the teams, not just to take the stat at face value.
Yeah, so agreed, and that's why I wanted that process perspective is, do you think there's valid reasons that a virgin starter is going to struggle in the playoffs even more than the regular season?
I'm sure you could make a case that there's valid reasons, because in the playoffs, people will tell you that everything happens a little quicker. You usually see a few different things than you've seen during the regular season. And if you lack experience, then you may not be in the best position to respond and handle that. So, there's probably valid reasons, but I don't think that those are the only reasons is what I'm saying.
Last question for Greg Cosell. You can follow him on Twitter for more, at Greg Cosell. So looking at DVOA from Football Outsiders, the top five offenses all are still playing, all in the final eight. The top seven defenses, not a single team is left playing. So would you say, and obviously it could be a slight aberration any given year, but would you say that even compared to 6-7 years ago, the importance of offense versus defense, the chasm between the two is wider than ever, and at a faster pace it's growing than you've ever seen?
Well, again, there's many variables there. I think the game is clearly geared toward the offensive side of the ball right now. So you're going to have bigger offense, but we've also seen that there's been some lower scoring games as well, and that's a relative term, obviously. I think we're past the point, for the most part, of seeing 10-7 games, but you take a team like the Colts, I guess they're not in the top whatever it is, top five, top 10, but over the last 9 or 10 weeks of the season, they've been, if I'm not mistaken, one of the best defenses in the league in a number of statistical categories. So, again, I think there's a context to those kinds of things, and there's a, the sample size to me in for one given year does not then lead to me suggesting that there's a big cyclical trend in the nature of the NFL. It's just like after that Monday night game when the Rams beat the Chiefs and both teams scored in the 50s, we were led to believe that that was going to be the nature of the NFL, and clearly it did not turn out that way. So to me, the sample size is not large enough to make any definitive judgment about that.
Colts, by the way, number 10 defensive DVOA on the season. Greg Cosell, NFL Films, Thursday, 6:30, straight out of Vegas. Thanks, Greg.
Thanks, RJ. Appreciate it.
When we come back, we've got a special college basketball best bet of the week. This is the game the boys are betting the most on in college basketball.
He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you always wanted, and it's money-making time next here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
I'm RJ Bell. We're Straight Outta Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. We're going to take a look at the doubleheader in the NBA on TNT coming up later tonight. But first, Dan Beyer with some breaking news out of the NFL.
Breaking news from Fox Sports.
Fox Sports Radio host Andy Furman, who can be heard Sunday mornings here on Fox Sports Radio, had the news a little bit earlier today, and now other outlets, including ESPN, say the Cincinnati Bengals will hire Zach Taylor, the Los Angeles Rams quarterback's coach, to be their next head coach, with an announcement likely after the Rams are eliminated from the postseason. But it looks like the final head coaching job in the NFL will be filled. Zach Taylor reportedly going to the Cincinnati Bengals.
RJ, what does Vegas make of the hiring in Cincinnati for Steve Fezzik's Cincinnati Bengals?
At least you admit to it, Fez. You like the Bengals. I mean, to me, it just reinforces what we've been talking about the whole show, and it bears repeating. Top five DVOA offenses, all in the final eight. All five. Perfect. Top seven defenses, none. Zero. Zip in the final eight of the NFL. Offense means so much more. The eye tells us that, but also the numbers tell us that. And boy, if you look at Kingsbury's release when he got hired, it literally had as a bullet point friends with Sean McVay. So heck, if you can get hired for that, then if you're actually on his staff, this seems like a good hire to me.
To the NBA we go. We've got a doubleheader on TNT tipping off in about 10 minutes from now in South Beach. It's the Celtics at the Heat right now on pregame.com. Boston, a 2.5-point favorite.
So, Fez, this is tough. You got your sheet in front of you, but the mic, can you look at the sheet and stay on the mic? This is a big challenge. Go.
I can. I'm leaning to Boston here. Boston minus 2.5. Why is the spread so low? Boston's a whole lot better than Miami. Well, it's because Boston is playing back-to-back nights. But because Boston won 135 to 108 last night against Indiana, none of their starters had to play more than 25 minutes. So because of that, I don't expect the normal back-to-back will apply. I like the Celtics in this game.
Boy, you did it, buddy. I mean, I gave you the music trying to throw you off a little bit. You just went right through it like nothing.
What music?
Guys, after the Celtics and the Heat, it is the Thunder at the Spurs. Oklahoma City, a 1-point favorite.
What music? Now that was funny. Go, Fez.
All right, I'm going to lean to Oklahoma City. Normally, I'd have concerns because they just lost as an 8-point favorite at home against Minnesota. But remember, Minnesota just fired their coach, Thibodeau, and we got a Herculean effort out of Minnesota in their first game after Thibodeau was fired. That's why Oklahoma City lost that game. I think they win this game against the Spurs.
I got you that time. Still, though, now, do you like that or lean?
That's a strong lean.
And the first one you like?
I do.
So repeat the two.
So I like the Celtics. I lean to Oklahoma City.
And that's TNT doubleheader tonight.
Yes.
Guys, we have a best bet out of college basketball. That's right. College basketball right now.
And this is different because we, listen, 200 stations straight out of Vegas, about half of our listeners don't even bet. So what we're going to do once a week is spend 60 seconds on one college basketball game that's not necessarily a big game. This one's actually a big game that Brad is betting the most money on. Brad, go.
Yeah, best bet for me, Oregon, UCLA, over the total. We're going over 147.
So this isn't just a college basketball game. It's a total.
It's a total in college basketball.
And the number's 147.
147. On one side of the ball, you got an Oregon team much more likely to play with some tempo. Why? Their 7'2" center, Manute Bol's son, is out for the season. And their first game that's went over in the last seven happened in their last game without the first one, without Bol. So expect up-tempo for Oregon Ducks. Fez.
Yes, and UCLA, no team has been...
So, Fez, you like the same pick. This is like a kind of a double team.
I love this over 147. When Steve Alford was coaching the Bruins, they were 8-2 to the under. He got fired. So in comes interim head coach Bartow that loves to run. The last two UCLA games, 162 and 181 points, RJ. It's a totally new UCLA team.
So both of you guys on over UCLA tonight. That's an ESPN game.
A victim of the infamous Malachi Crunch.
I mean, if you got two of them, you got to take it seriously. You know, I want to talk Rams just a little bit more. This is one of those games I could see laying the lumber with the Rams on the spread, but I actually like the Cowboys on the money line even more. You're like, wait a minute, those are two opposite things. The question is, how is the game going to be played? If it's a tight game where Dak's ability to scramble, control the ball on Dallas is going to matter, I think Dallas has a heck of a chance to win a tight game. I just think when you have a touchdown underdog, oftentimes the lines, or you're going to be down 14 at some point, and I think Dallas really would struggle in that spot. So my thought is, if you like the Cowboys, look at the money line, because you get a jumbo payout, and that's probably the type of game you have a chance to actually win the game with Dallas.
The Odd Couple is next. We are straight out of Vegas, back tomorrow with a final look at the divisional round of the NFL playoffs, 6 Eastern time, right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.